Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool, the Champions League, Napoli away. I'm Paul Machin, Mick Manan, Steve Plunkett join me in the studio for this one. If you are watching this on Twitter and you want to come and join us for the full show, we are live right now here on YouTube after the fact. There's nothing you can do about it, unfortunately. We were, it'll still be there, and you can catch it in podcast forms and your major podcasting apps as well. Steve, let's try and maintain an air of decorum here. Let's try and see if we can keep ourselves all on track. The road to Istanbul begins here.
Yeah. Easier places to start, for sure.
Yes.
Not one of our best hunting grounds over the years.
No.
But this is a slightly different Napoli beast because it's not got Dries Mertens in it. It was an absolute nightmare for us every time we played them. So, yeah. That said, it's still a tough game. You don't like to say if there's a game you don't win in the group, this is likely to be it, but this is going to be a tough ask. Mm-hmm. Given current form and things we've spoken about with other games, this is a monumental fixture on Wednesday night. It's a huge game.
It's one of those things, isn't it, Mick, where it's the Champions League, and look, the league form has been spotty, shall we say. At best, it's not been a great start to the season for us. We can succumb to all our fears and doubts and live in a full world of neuroses for the next couple of days and beyond, but it's the Champions League, it's a chip away for the lads. It is a place, as mentioned, where we haven't got a great record, but it's the Champions League. You know, we topped our group with maximum points last year. They'll be looking to do, they'll be delighted if they could do the same again, of course, but it represents a slightly different type of footy, a slightly different atmosphere, and something that hopefully they'll use to I don't want to say kickstart properly, but continue to kickstart the season.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a respite from the league, isn't it? One of them, like you said, the league's not been great so far, and there's a lot of room for improvement, but the Champions League provides a bit of a respite from that and gives us a bit more impetus to go into this competition and try and get some form together, because I think that's the thing that we're trying to strive towards. And I think Napoli's away is probably getting the hardest one out the way early doors, which is, you can look at that in a positive way, but I don't think we've won there. I think we've drawn twice the two times we played at their place recently, and it's a difficult place to go to, but I think we need to, it's a place where if we do get a good result there, then that can be a massive foundation for what we go on to do for the rest of the season, because we need to kickstart at some point. And I think we keep saying that every game, this is the game we're going to do it, this is the game we're going to do it, hopefully this is the game we do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we're in that awkward situation, and this has been true of, you know, the Merseyside derby was this, the game at Old Trafford was this, is because of the nature of how the season's gone, draws and moreover defeats that obviously feel absolutely catastrophic at this point. But, you know, it goes both ways. It's a massive opportunity for us to kick on, but that is also, it shouldn't be understated, and I don't like to be the guy who says this, but, you know, going away and getting a draw away from home against Napoli is actually not a bad way to start the group. It sounds like loser talk because we've had too many draws and too many games where we've not won, and it won't feel necessarily like that, you know, unless we score a last minute equaliser and then you get to bounce out, I guess. But a win would be a fantastic result for the group, but a draw wouldn't be the end of the world again, although it might psychologically for us as fans not feel the best.
Well, there aren't any teams in the competition that would relish going there and go there with genuine intent to win the game. It is a damn, it's a tough place to go. If you get out with a draw, it is a good result. You know, we've seen teams, our group last year, we saw a team get through with 7 points. So if you go and get a draw there, it's not the worst thing in the world. In the context of it, it becomes the potentially a bad thing because of the amount of draws you've had this season, and it becomes another one type of thing. And then the media circus that is around our current form says, oh, but they went to Napoli and they drew there as well, which, as you've just quite rightly said, if you do that, that's actually a decent start to the worst game you're going to play, and you've got something out of it. They haven't in that regard, because they were looking for 3 points. You want to win all your home games in the Champions League groups. So I think we need to apply a bit of logic and a bit of common sense to this. If we get a draw there, I don't see that as a bad result.
No, I agree with that. Same.
Yeah. I think it's like I said, it's one of the hardest game we could have to start in terms of what our group says. So yeah, I'm more than happy if we get a draw there.
We're managing 2 games a week now. You know, there's the international break to come up after the next four. I want to talk about those next four because I just think they're so massive to what's going on at the moment. Napoli Wednesday, Wolves is at 3 o'clock on Saturday. We've got Ajax on Tuesday at Anfield, and then we're away at Stamford Bridge for Chelsea that follows it. If you want to get a sense of where Liverpool are at, we'll have a clearer picture by the end. We'll go into the international break, hopefully with a sense of upbeat optimism. Hopefully. You know, I certainly thought we were going to go into the season with a sense of upbeat optimism too. But if they want to get a grip on the season, this next four is massive. But this is the thing, we're managing for that now. And I think Mick, the management for that, started in the derby. Seeing Trent come off so early, seeing Robbo not start that game. We've obviously got, hopefully, players coming back. Not likely for any additional players coming back for this one. But there's lads with a few more minutes under the belt. But that's where we're at now. We've actually got to get a decent result here. But we've also got we've got to beat Wolves at the weekend as well. That can't be that's the more important win that we're aiming for this week.
Yeah, and you saw Jota come on, and I think that's a huge boost in terms of what we've got in terms of up top. Obviously, Nunes started. We had Bobby and Jota on the bench. They both came on. Unfortunately, Firmino came on in a way that he didn't want him to for the Carvalho dead leg or whatever it was, injury. But there's more options there, and I think, like you said, it's quite telling that he didn't start. He didn't start Robbo when he brought Trent off, and it's like I've seen a lot of grief given thrown Klopp's way for that in terms of why did you bring him off Trent off at that time. But I think it's trying, like you said, trying to manage minutes and trying to.
But we don't have another right back.
Exactly.
This is the problem, is that it gets like yada yadded because people are bored of people. This happened in 2021, whatever it was, the season we don't talk about, that we've been talking a lot about this season, is that pundits and people outside get bored of going, well, it's the injuries, they need to find other problems.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now it's the managers making bad decisions. Trent Alexander-Arnold can't play 90 minutes or 90 plus minutes 2 games a week forever. There's not a footballer who can do that without needing some sort of protection. Well, he can, maybe looks out and survives it, but you're not getting a good footballer in a month's time, or when you really need to dig deep, there's nothing left in the tank. Not having Calvin Ramsey from the second we bought him has not helped. And then Milner's had to play midfield and Gomez had to play centre half. So the other understudies are not there. So that's what I mean to talk about, like managing our way through this. Steve, there's extenuating circumstances, all this. People are not necessarily as receptive to it. You're more receptive to it when you win them, but you also don't really pay as much attention to it. You don't need to find reasoning when you're winning. When you're struggling, people are desperate to be like, it's a transition season, or Liverpool have come to the end of the cycle. Liverpool are just managing their squads back to fitness at this point.
And when they decided to go with the 5 subs, Klopp doubled down on that and had a real good think about what he can do. And we're going to hear a lot about this 60-30 scenario where players play 60 minutes, then someone comes on for the last 30 because he's big on energy. And that's the reason why, one of the reasons why he wanted to do that. Robbo came on and was quite fresh, but didn't impact the game in the same way Tsimikas was, because he played a much deeper role because we were under a bit of pressure. But you're right, it is about managing. And as we've said many, many times before, the old phone will go off and the sports scientist will tell him who he can and he can't have that week, that game, who he can't have at the weekend. And the squad's just about big enough to cope with that, aside from the issues we have in midfield at the moment. But bodies are coming back and that will change. But it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that 2 games a week you're managing your players, particularly the ones that you ask a lot of fullbacks in particular that are up and down, up and down. Those are the guys that run their blood to water every week. So I'm not surprised to see him change.
I think going back to this, this is where we've got to be very canny in this game. And it's at the moment, I don't think we can be trusted to like get games won in the first half an hour at the moment. Bournemouth notwithstanding. Great. When that works, great. Because you can see, you get to make whatever. Badger Titch, come on, mate. Come on, enjoy. Step in. The water's lovely. but for something like this, and I was thinking this about the derby, Mick, is it felt a week too soon for that type of game and that type of environment. And look, the fixture list is what it is. You can't cry about it. But, you know, Jota kicking his first ball of the season when we need to try and win a game away from home at Goodison Park isn't an ideal set of circumstances. We do have to be careful with this one. And that's what I think. I wonder whether there's a degree to which we might just focus on keep a clean sheet here. Make that your first mission. Be solid. Be hard to break down. And if your lads can provide a bit of magic on top, then great. Yeah. Because ultimately, this is what we're saying. We've got to make sure that we are managing the squad. This is not a game. Ideally, we'd want to put our best 11 out here. But we don't have our best 11 available to us. So you can't afford to fuck yourself by running people into the ground and then be left with nothing when it comes to the weekend and beyond.
Yeah, and I think it's like you said, you both rightly said, it's managing minutes in terms of like keeping players fresh, but it's managing minutes in terms of people not being in great form as well. So you bring in the likes of Trent off because he's not quite there, and I think you can see that when he's trying those like diagonal balls that sometimes going awry, and it's like that's not Trent there. That's something that will come in time as the season progresses. I think we're still in a phase where we're still trying to find our feet. We're still trying to blend the certain players into the squad. Like you said, Paul, the players that are injured need to come back in and hopefully have a big impact. Like to Thiago, I know we can't hang our hat on that, but him coming back will have a huge effect on how we play because he's so key to that. But yeah, I think it's like you said, Jota coming back in is massive. We can't put too much pressure on him now because he's like you said, we don't want him to get a recurrence because I think the injury he had when he came back was a recurrence of the injury he already had. So we don't want to be messing about with that again and try and keep him as fresh as we can. And then there's other players like you said, like that we need to get back into the mould. And yeah, I think the Everton game was one of them. Like the midfield was like, it was one of them that you were initially really excited about, but as the game started, you were like, this might be a bit too optimistic in terms of an attack and threat. And I think if we were firing on all cylinders, that midfield with us just keeping the ball, taking it over with the ability of Elliot and Carvalho, we would have really thrived in that game. But in terms of where we are as a team, as out of form as we are, it was maybe a tad optimistic to expect that midfield to do what Klopp wants them to do.
Yeah, and it was just a wild game of football as well. And you're right, it just feels like we're not selecting the right types of 11s for the right types of games at the moment. And some of that, and the vast majority of that, is because we're hamstrung by who we can and we can't select. Of course, that's the basic of it. But you're right, there's a couple of games where we've gone a bit more functionally. Oh, actually, no, we needed a bit more creativity. Oh, no, we've gone a bit too creative. Actually, we could have done with a bit more function. I actually don't know what Napoli is for that. Be interested to know if people are live with us now. Let us know in the comments. You know, what if you had the choice, and we might not in terms of personnel available because we're no Jordan Henderson, you've not got a ton of solid options that you're putting in there if you want to. But is this the game where you put a bit more guile in your midfield, or is this the game where you try to put a bit more steel? Let us know when we go through the 11s later on. We'll have that in the conversation, certainly. Napoli have started the season well. A time of recording the top of Serie A. Now, there's still games to be played on the weekend, so there's a chance that they're not by the time it comes around, of course. But it is something to be wary of. They have had a little bit of sticky form. Look, they're only 5 games into the season. They won at the weekend over Lazio. They had 2 draws prior to the due to Fiorentina and Lecce leading into it. So they're not, you know, they're not at their free flow and best. They've gone through a couple of changes as well. But to the point, this is the Champions League. They're a good team. They're going to be a good team. They're going to be bang up for this. There's no gimmies in this one.
They're very disciplined, they're very structured under the manager, so they know it's Harry Ball, isn't it? That's what they call it. So he's going to be clearly getting them to do it. Is he still there? I think he
is.
It's Spalletti. So, sorry. So they're very, very rigid in their game plan. I don't recall Napoli being top of the league too many times in recent years, so they're clearly getting something right. In Victor Osimhen, the forward, they've got a real threat, so we have to be careful of him. And they've got Zielinski and other players like that as well that we know a lot about because we scouted them for years.
Done about 10 summers on the
Exactly. So to be top of Serie A, you know, they're not in a bad place at the moment, but you know, their recent results are not brilliant. So, you know, potentially, we don't know what we're going to get from them. They're a bit of an unknown quantity in that regard. So, I guess it's just go with it. I think we'll be resilient rather than creative on the night.
Yeah, no, I agree. We mentioned it before, we don't have a particularly good record against them, and it just adds to a little bit of, I know, again, lingering fear going into this one, is that we always go, even when we've had really, really good sides that have gone and had really, really good seasons and everyone's in reasonable form and fitness, we've struggled here. I mean, again, there's always been we've always seemed to have an issue. Like Adrian's played in one of these games in the past, pulled off one of the greatest saves of all time, only for them to stick it in and get completely forgotten about. So yeah, I mean, that is the concern in it. But look, ultimately, Mick, you know, it's unideal for Liverpool preparation. We haven't got all the lads we would choose to have for this game, of course, but it's a game of football. What Klopp is very good at doing is actually managing for individual football matches. We haven't really had to do it for a while. You know, it typified his early years, where it was like, identify an opponent, drag them down to your level and beat them there, was his famous sort of quote on that. We've been so good for so long, the lads have been able to sort it out on the pitch, whereas this actually could represent a good opportunity to be a bit more specialised in your approach and find a way to hurt Napoli rather than, you know, like, trust it all to work itself out on the night.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen from our Premier League form hasn't been great, but like I said before, it'll provide a respite and it provides us maybe like a fresh blanket or a fresh canvas to go, right, well, this is a fresh competition. We can maybe go slightly different and maybe drag, like you said, drag them down to our level in terms of the game's not going our way, we can do that, but maybe go there with like a fresh impetus, and that we can maybe like Harvey Elliott and the likes of Milner maybe starting and maybe providing a bit more functionality in that midfield going into that one. And I think, like I said, with Jota and stuff like that and Nunes, there's loads of options there. I think that's the point.
It's getting back to that, isn't it? And it's that's getting the encouraging back to it. Thing. Yeah, you know, just you know, the last couple of games, Liverpool haven't necessarily been brilliant. You know, it's a 98th minute winner against Newcastle, of course, but you know, you're starting to look at the bench. That the Newcastle, the Everton game is the first time in a couple of weeks where we've looked at the bench and gone, okay, well, I can see how we can make changes to positively impact this. Jota being a big one. We'll discuss Diogo Jota. We're going to discuss a couple of the injuries in terms of updates and what have you in the second half of the show. But before then, I've got a trivia question. What was Liverpool's starting 11 the last, brackets only, time we didn't lose in the San Paolo Stadium? If you're live, use the comments section underneath. Otherwise, you can tweet us at the Redmen TV. Get those 11s in and we'll give you the answers after this.
Hey, you wonderful podcast listener. Get back to the show very, very shortly. Just want to give you a heads up about our merchandise store, redmenmerch.com. Go over there, check it out. Some amazing t-shirts, books, gifts, absolutely everything you need for the Liverpool fan in your life, or indeed just to treat yourself. So yeah, head on over to redmenmerch.com. Check out the amazing products that we've got on offer. I'm sure you'll love them, and I'm sure you're going to love the rest of this show too.
Yes, welcome back. If you want some more Liverpool-based happiness in your life, then go to redmenplus.com. Check out the Ragamuffins live at Hotel Anfield. Just insane how good those guys are. They've done a live session in the studio as well as Mark Kenny. Both of those guys are going on tour. We're going on tour with, I should say. No, they're going on tour with us. They're taking us. Me and Chris are going to be over in LA and Vegas between the 15th and the 19th, I think, are the dates anyway, of September. So if you're in on the West Coast and you want to come and have a party with the Ragamuffins and me and Pajach and Mark Kenny, then, and some Liverpool legends, Bruce Grobler. Yeah, forget the guys who've actually won trophies for Liverpool, Bruce Grobler, Ronnie Whelan, and us having big time parties over on the West Coast. Tickets still available at Cop Connect. So check that one out. Right, I asked the question, what was the starting 11 for Liverpool the last time we didn't get beat in the San Paolo? Anyone know what the year was?
Was it 18?
The year was all the way back in 2010.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm thinking of the other one then. Yeah, it's 2010.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. The manager was Roy Hodgson, of course. The Liverpool starting 11, goalie
Reina,
Pepe Reina,
yeah.
Left back, oh god, this is mad.
Left back, is it someone who shouldn't be at left back?
Well, no, it was a left back. I mean, that was debatable. He said he wasn't a Liverpool left back. Paul Konchesky was left back.
I was going to say that, but I was hoping it wasn't going to be.
Centre back pairing, captain
Carragher.
Alongside,
Agger.
No,
Skirtle,
right back. He's made a deadline day transfer to the Championship.
From the Championship?
To the Championship. From Crystal Palace.
Oh, Martin Kelly.
Martin Kelly. Yeah. Okay, let's see midfield. I've got no idea what order these come in, so this is a bit of a grab bag of footballers here. One player, in fact, there's one player in this 11 who's still at Liverpool Football Club, technically.
Spearing.
Jay Spearing. Well done. Oh yeah, Jay God. Spearing in midfield alongside Poulsen. A DM. The last midfielder we signed from Juventus, correct? Christian Poulsen.
All coming back now.
Wow.
Ooh, another central attacking midfielder. Still plays in the Premier League.
What team do you play for now?
He plays for, I'll give it away.
Go on.
Newcastle United.
Shelvey.
John Joe Shelvey. Oh, my God. And I guess this is 4-3-3. Ugh. anyone guess at the centre forward?
Barini.
This is before Barini's time.
It's all one big
blur. I know. Yeah, well, this is all Roy Hodgson had at the time. This was in the 21st of October 2010.
Is Torres still there?
Torres was there, but was injured.
Oh. What's his name? Voronin.
No.
Okay, you'll have to give us that one.
Scored in the opening day of the season against Arsenal.
And Gog.
David and Gog, yeah, well done. And flanked either side by a man who was famously name-dropped in, I think it was Neighbours.
Ivanovic.
Milan Ivanovic gets in. And a Dutch wonder kid.
Dutch wonder kid.
People probably don't even remember him as being a wonder kid at this point.
Ryan Babel.
Ryan Babel, yeah, sad. And just for completeness, Brad Jones, Fabio Aurelio, Sotirios Kyriakos, Danny Wilson, Joe Cole, Max Rodriguez, and Nathan Eccleston round out our substitute
bench. And you know
what?
There's people out there that think we've got it bad right now.
I know, honestly. Out of interest, we do 0-0. Which has remained our best result away at Napoli under Roy Hodgson with that team. You know what's funny? Marek Hamšík was in that side, and I genuinely was wondering whether is he still going?
Yeah, he plays in China.
Yeah. I was a bit sad to see he wasn't there. Their team, out of interest, Morgan de Sanctis in goal. They had Paolo Cannavaro. Andrea De Sena was playing for them at the time. They had Marek Hamšík, Ezequiel Lavezzi, and Edinson Cavani up front.
That's decent shout.
Didn't they beat us?
Lavezzi was quality. Well, you're gonna hit a ball in.
I was thinking about him in the one today. Yeah, absolutely. There you go. If you got that, you're an absolute genius. Give yourself a round of applause for the people who may or may not have got that right. I suspect no one. We had a couple of super chats in the first half. Nicholas Di Stefano says, first time tuning in live. Love your work, boys. Thank you so much for tuning in live. Yeah, the build-up shows tend to be moved around a little bit more, but if you want to join us live for podcasts, the podcast is always live at 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, and it will be tomorrow. We've got a special guest for that one booked in as well, which should be very, very interesting indeed. We've got Liverpool fan Saskia Jade on with us, who is also better known for extracurricular activities, which we will be talking about far more on Podcast Extra on Plus. If you're a subscriber to Plus, then you can get your questions in for that one. That should be I'm really looking forward to that one. Should be a good laugh. Lachill, £5 super chat. What was your favourite Champions League opening day win of all time? I really can't remember that as a thing.
I can't.
No. Did we play AC Milan last season? Was that our first game of the Champions League last year, AC Milan at home? Where we were unstoppable for 30 minutes, and then we just started playing globetrotter footy
and switched off, and they scored loads of goals.
I'll take that. I really don't remember.
Was that the Henderson belter? Was that Atletico Madrid?
I honestly can't. It becomes a massive mush if anyone's got a suggestion for an answer.
There are 63 games to feed through for that season.
Quite a few. It feels like a lifetime ago. Let's dive into it. So Konate, do you reckon he'll be back in around the international break? Thiago should start training today, they were hopeful of. Henderson's still a little ways away. The Naby Keita stuff continues to be so weird. Mick, him and Ox have been left out of the Champions League squad. Now, Dave Maddock put quite an intelligent kind of retort to all of this, is that because of the shortened nature of the first half of the season, realistically, if you're out for a couple of months, you've missed every game. So it's not as dramatic a thing as it maybe seems. But the Naby Keita stuff in particular, Klopp's response was quite unequivocal in what he said, but in the general feeling around how we talked around it pre-derby, the Keita situation just feels like there's more going on there.
Yeah, I think he said something like it's a muscle injury, and he didn't kind of elaborate any further on that. So it's kind of like, is something else going on? Like, you wonder, but it's like, yeah, it's not surprising with Keita. We know how good he can be on his day, but it's like, availability is the best ability. We always say this under Klopp, and he's just never available. Same with Ox, really. But like you said, like the condensed nature of the Champions League before, November times is a big factor in why he's done this anyway. Yeah. So
I mean, look, if we take it at face value, he's got a muscle injury, and there's no nearby return date. No one's really questioning that Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't in the Champions League squads. You know, there's a chance he could be back by the end of October, and you know, and maybe be useful for the final group game or whatever. We don't know, but if Keita's in that ballpark of injury time, then of course they've left him out. But you can't help but, because of all the stuff that goes around, it's the whole, there's no smoke without fire, that kind of thing. It does lend itself to us feeling like there's more going on than really we can be arsed with.
Yeah, and given that the group stage is over in the first week of November, you know, as we've quite rightly alluded to, he's got muscle tear, allegedly. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be match fit anyway, so yeah. There is no drama in that. But at the end of the day, what you do is you put yourself a squad together, players are going to go and compete in those six games without any drama, without anything going on behind the scenes, just focused on the football rather than the what ifs and is it this or is it that. So he's just going to take, big thing for Klopp, he's just going to take players into that group's phase that he trusts.
Yeah.
I think that's the key word, trusts. There is definitely a trust element issue there now, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. It's a shame, really, and I think it speaks to the art of Mello shine, and that he clearly doesn't think, and whether it's a trust thing in terms of fitness or injury, or this is just us planning for life without Keita, I suspect if he'd been fit, definitely fit, then there might have been some movement toward the back end of the transfer window. But a lot of the rumours are, you know, maybe got something lined up for Moises Caicedo in January, and Mello comes in and he's a stopgap to cover for that, and Keita would do in a little bit of a Coutinho thing here where maybe he's got a bit of an injury which has hampered his move, but he decided he doesn't want it. I don't know, I'm speculating, and I don't like to do that, but nobody's really come out unequivocally and shut it all down. So yeah, it does feel like Liverpool are preparing for life without Naby Keita, and look, his contract runs out at the end of the season anyway. They had to do that if he wasn't going to sign a new deal.
Yeah, and I think his gripe was that he doesn't play often enough, but you're not available enough to get to be in a match day squad, so you've got no leg to stand on in that regard. So it's one of them, like, we know how good he is, and we played a fortune for him, and it was one of them, like, you'd get to a point where you'd put in a really good performance, you're like, right, Naby Keita, kick on from here, and then ultimately get an injury, probably the game after, or the two games after, and he's back to square one again. He's constantly in a vicious circle of trying to show how good he is, constantly get breaking down, coming back again, and it's got to that point where people are obviously losing, but people have lost patience with him. I'm one of them, like a half glass half full, but like some of them losing patience with the player, like you never want to do that, because you know Klopp's put a lot of trust in him, and he's not repaid it enough over a long period of time.
Look, why the Liverpool players, I mean I'm not in on this all like let's start slaughtering people when it comes to injuries. This with Daniel Sturridge, like Daniel Sturridge didn't want to be injured, he wanted to be fit, he wanted to be the main man for Liverpool, and his body didn't allow that. Yeah. And that happens to footballers sometimes. Sometimes it's recoverable and sometimes it's not, but that's the thing with Naby, it's like failure to launch. Every time we get a little bit out of him, you go, oh, this, and you, just as a fan, you get bored of saying the same things. We want the guys who were there fighting for the shirt week in, week out. They're the ones you love, you know, they're the lads who are meant to get the songs, and they're meant to get the name, you get the name on the back of the shirt because you trust that they're going to deliver for you, and he's not been able to do that. And again, it just gets to a point where I've never wanted to cut off our nose to spite our face, because there is a footy player in there, but if it's true that he's not up for it, and again he's not clearly not signing a new deal, then whatever, it'll fizzle out, and he'll probably go down as the big flop of like the Michael Edwards time as Liverpool sporting director and the Jurgen Klopp period of being a manager. But Liverpool will hopefully move on. It does beg the question, though. Obviously, still no Jordan Henderson, still no Thiago. You can't see a world where he's getting rushed. You're not rushing Thiago for any reason whatsoever because he's so important. We saw Carvalho start in midfield in the derby. Didn't work. Who starts in midfield here? Fabinho, I guess, will have to start. Yeah. Past that, Elliot will probably have to start.
Jones,
yeah. It's an interesting shout. Kind of got a bit forgotten about that.
And we may play Milner in the six as opposed to Fabinho because that's dangerous, I know. But we've not learnt lessons. You can't, Fabinho is a great player, but you can't give him 20 games in a row. Something comes out of that, doesn't it? Yeah. So, and you blew your cheeks out when I said that. But at the end of the day, this is going away to what we've already discussed being the hardest game of the group. There's no prerequisite to win it. It's not like if we don't win it, we don't qualify.
Yeah.
So you can afford to be a bit liberal with your team and be safe. Because I've said before, I think we'll be resilient and safe. I don't think we go there to be expansive. The front three might be, because our front three suits playing in European football, but I think what goes on behind will be very much a case of make yourself hard to beat. I think that's the mantra for the night.
I mean, the big one here is where's Arthur up to? You know, is he ready? You know, he's a guy who's got experience of Serie A. He'll have a better grip on what Napoli are, I would imagine, than most of our players. It's just, again, is he ready to start football games? And you know, people will roll their eyes, I think, if Milner's starting football matches. But as I said, we're a week away, I think, minimum. We're Ajax at home before we're barring any other unforeseen circumstances, Jesus Christ, everyone touch wood at home, cross your fingers and all that shit. From having to be able to do a horses for courses type job, this feels very much like we'll throw out what we can and what's available to us.
Yeah, and I think Melo, I think Klopp mentioned, didn't he? Like, he's been involved, obviously, in training and rondos, but he hasn't played footy for ages. So it's one of them. Like, I'd be very surprised if he throws him into a game like this. Like we've said, it's the most difficult game of the group. So hopefully, like you said, next week from then onwards, he can start to be involved a little bit more, because then obviously it kind of helps with the Thiago conundrum, because he's so key. Then we can kind of maybe manage Thiago's minutes alongside the Melo minutes
as well. He's clearly there to just take Keita's place in the squad, isn't he? And that is understudy to Thiago. Yeah. Now, that's still a massive job. We've been quite disrespectful at times, I think, to Naby Keita's ability to do it. When he was good last season, he did that very, very good. The physicality, that role's the big thing. It being Europe might help. And I do wonder this about Arta, where we might see him actually being more involved in the Champions League games in the coming weeks, because they are a bit less physically intense and physically demanding, slightly slower pace of football. That might actually help him to integrate. It's more what he's used to than throwing him straight into a blood and thunder Premier League game.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think the Napoli game would be, if he'd came in earlier and we'd had a bit more time to kind of bed him in and stuff, then the Napoli game would have been a perfect, like you said, Paul, quite rightly, like, it's the perfect game for him to kind of go in, get stuck in, dictate tempo the way that he can in games of that type of style of football that he's so used to. But in terms of Jones, was Jones on the bench for the Everton game?
Is a great question.
I don't think he was, you know.
He
wasn't.
For
Newcastle, wasn't he?
But yeah, but that kind of, I don't know what that says. Like, is that, is he just took him out just for that game?
What we'll do is actually we'll get the injuries up and just go through and see what the current latest on all this stuff is. So Premier injuries have got Konate has ruled out, Keller has got a 25% chance of being involved. You know, Klopp said on the 26th he'll be in training. In fact, we know he's back in goalkeeper training, so that's encouraging. Thiago, again, as mentioned already, 50-50 for this game and beyond. Henderson ruled out. Carvalho's a 50-50 because of a dead leg that he got in the derby, which is another consideration. Oxlade-Chamberlain ruled out again. As we know, it's going to be a little while for him. Ramsey's still not properly back yet. And again, Naby Keita. So no mention of Curtis Jones in that. Fingers crossed, because he's due it. You know, he's one where we know he's not the finished article yet. And he's had so much bad luck, just some of the timings of the little injuries he's had, Steve. But he's a good player. you know, and he is establishing. He had some good. He had a couple of really good games for us. I mean, particularly is it Benfica away last or Atletico away? But you know, you can drop him into this game if you need to, and he should be fine if he's actually available.
And he's not frightened to take the ball under pressure. I like that bravery about him. He's a guy that when you need to stand up, be counted, he shows up for the ball. So, yeah, it is a potential to play him on the left side of that midfield. You and I spoke about Arta when we signed him in the late show we did. He basically is a carbon copy of Thiago in terms of some of the ability he's got, and they look after the ball and find people. So maybe he gets on for the last, maybe 60-30, he gets on for the last 30 minutes if he's close to it. I think Curtis Jones is nailed on to play if he's available. I really do.
Yeah, I'm not against the Arthur getting a look, but I'd be looking more towards, you know, give him 30, give him 15, whatever, you know. And if you can start Kurt. It just goes back to the stability thing for me. It's a big ask to go for being Yo Jones Elliott in an away game like this. For me, it's probably Milner. Stick Milner in midfield, and because I think you can go up a gear. But the problem is if you lose sight of this game, then it's harder to go back down again, and you don't want to have to go above and beyond. I don't know. Milner, Fabinho. Oh, that being said, I can talk myself in circles on this. Fabinho, who's Fabinho can't. I don't think they'll want him to do 90. So if you start Milner, yeah, Milner's either coming off or doing 90 himself. It's a shit show, isn't it? It's an absolute shit show at the minute. Look, I can't add to that at the moment. We're going to have to put our 11s in a minute, but we'll delay that as much as possible. A couple of other big talking points, I guess, for the manager, the big decisions to be made. Who starts up front? Mick Jota's back. Bobby's been a decent goal scoring form. Nunes is available again. Looked a threat at the weekend. What do you reckon?
I think he goes Nunes again, but I think purely because he's been sat on the sidelines for three games, and he's obviously, like you said, he was a threat. He had some good chances in the Everton game. If it wasn't for Pickford, he scores an absolute worldie the way he took down on his chest and volleyed. Yeah. That was a great bit of footy. It was a lovely footy. So I think he starts this one, and then, like you said, like having Bobby and Jota on the bench, we can take him off on 60-70, and likewise with the midfield, and kind of manage their minutes a little bit as
it
well.
It goes entirely against what we've been saying, but he could do more of a 4-2-4, 4-2-3-1 that we saw and put Bobby up top with someone.
That's
another possibility on this, because that's the slight issue here is, you know, you can't actually, Jota's going to play centre or left, I would imagine. Bobby's only going to play through the middle, so the only way Bobby's playing, but to play Bobby, you're keeping Nunes out, who needs minutes, and Jota needs minutes if you're starting Diaz and stuff. So I do wonder whether does that also potentially solve the midfield thing a touch. Gives Harvey a little bit of a rest. You can still go Milner, Fabinho as your two, but does that capsize everything we've talked about trying to go away to Napoli and be solid? Maybe.
You've got to look after the ball, haven't you?
Yeah.
And one of the things you do when you fire the ball up to Nunes is you run the risk of two centre-halves taking the ball off him, and suddenly your back's against the wall and you're defending again. Bobby will look after the ball a little bit better for you. So I'm stuck between those two ideologies, to be honest with you. I think in Europe, Nunes is an absolute terror because he did it to us, didn't he, at Anfield. So I think we're really suited to European football with our front line. So I can't decide whether, A, you look after the ball, or B, you go out there with a view to really creating chaos.
Yeah, the other debate on this one is Matip or Gomez. I've been so impressed with Joe Gomez the last couple of games. I think he's been brilliant. But Joel Matip, you know what you're getting with Joel. He's going to come in, you know, he's just going to be brilliant. And he adds. I think Gomez's passing range has been brilliant. It's been a real weapon in our Arsenal. But Matip's mad, mazy slaloming runs, I think we've also missed that, just to add a little bit of spice to what we do.
Yeah, sometimes he's our best creator. In games where we're struggling, you can see Virgil, you'll pass to him, and he'll literally just usher him forward and go on, Joel, have a run, and see what happens, because he's so good at it. And I think we've definitely missed that in terms of when our midfield struggling, Matip will just go, well, fuck this, I'm going to run and see how far I can go.
Well, because teams, they've got to let someone have the ball, and you can't let Trent have the ball, and you can't let Robbo have the ball, and you can't let Van Dijk have the ball. So more often than not, it's our right side of centre half that they go, well, we've got to concede possession somewhere. We've got to funnel the ball somewhere. And that's where Matip comes alive, because you're right, he'll just go and take two lines of the team out with a little run and then knock it off. And whether we do anything from it, it sows a bit of discontent and it makes the opposition think differently about what we're going to do. And if it just means that they take an eye off an Elliot or a Salah for one moment, that can be the thing that clicks in. But I just don't think Joe Gomez deserves to come out. And the only world really, Steve, is that, again, if we're managing multiple games here, Gomez has had his well-documented injury issues as well, same with Matip, that there might be a case here where Matip does come in for this, but if he does, I really hope Gomez comes straight back in for the weekend.
And if we're looking to be resilient and make ourselves difficult to beat, it's not beyond the possibility that Gomez goes to right back and Matip comes in at centre half.
Yeah.
And Trent misses out, because, you know, it's going to be a difficult game. You're right, what you said before, the Wolves game is massive for us, and we want everybody that we need at the top of their game. And I'm sure there's a few well chosen words going in Trent's direction this week at training, because he doesn't look like he's 100%. We look at Joe Gomez needs 8, 9, 10 games to get into a run of form, to get up to speed. You take him out now, you're breaking up that 8, 9, 10 games to get him up to speed. He will benefit from a sustained run in the side, whether it be at right back or centre back. He's still playing, he's still gaining confidence, he's still getting back to match fitness, back to that Joe Gomez that helped us win the league, you know, that top quality, arguably the best English defender in the Premier League at the time. Maybe he plays at right back, maybe Matip comes in alongside him. There's choices to make, isn't there? And, you know, if we go there with a view to not losing the game and coming away with a point, that kind of would make a bit of sense to do that.
Yeah. I did a quick bit of Googling on the Artemelo Napoli thing, because I wanted to see if he'd actually played against them, because I've done this before. I go, well, he's played in that league, he must know them inside and out. Last season, he didn't play against them at all. He was injured for the first game away. He was then on the bench for the home game. Going back to 2021, he missed the first game away from home with an injury. He then played 10 minutes against them at home. Great. But in the Supercoppa Italiana, yep, he played centre mid the full 90 minutes. So Artemelo has absolutely got Napoli's number. I'm convinced of it. Get him in. Get him in from the start. There you go. There's a little factoid for you when you see that thrown around on social media. He has played a full game against them in the last two seasons. Great, great stuff. Are you a fan of the content we produce here in podcast form? Do you love Red Men goodness in your ears on a regular occasion? Do you want to know more on and off the field info about Liverpool Football Club? Get closer to the culture of the city and the club? Well, you can do. Red Men Plus podcasts are now available to subscribe to on Spotify. Yes, we are taking the podcast section from Red Men Plus and make it available as a standalone subscription here on Spotify, so you don't need to jump over. You can continue to listen to all of our content in the Spotify app. It is available for £5 and you get full access to all of those shows each and every week, and a whole host of extra content as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The advert for our Joel Matter t-shirt is one of Joe's finest moments. Just incredible stuff. Right, sound. We'll pick our... In fact, I'll tell you what, let's go through our 11s now. Let's not fuck around. Steve Plunkett, what do you think is Jürgen Klopp's going to line up with?
Alisson.
Yes.
My work here is done. One for one. I think I'm more thinking along the lines now of that defensive line I've just said. I think Trent could do it sitting one out.
Okay.
So I'd go Gomez, Matip, Van Dijk, and probably Tsimikas. I think we need Robbo flying for the league game.
Interesting.
Maybe he did a 60-30 like he did at the weekend. I see Milner, Fabinho and Elliot. It's not Elliot, Jones in midfield. I don't see Elliot starting the game. Okay. And I see the front three being Diaz, Bobby and Salah.
Okay.
Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robbo, Milner, Fab, Elliot, Diaz, Nunes, Salah.
I mean, this could be the first time we've had this in about 3 weeks, but we could come up with three different 11s here, I think. And I'll try and talk through me thinking on this. Alisson, obviously. Van Dijk, I think, will be nailed on. I agree. I think Matip will start this one. I think it means Gomez could well do right back, but actually, moreover, I think it leaves you with Gomez for half an hour at the back end of the game if you need to give Trent another rest. I think Robbo, having done the thing off the bench at the Derby, I think starts a game for this. With Tsimikas will sub out for him at some point. Fabinho kind of has to start, because I really don't see that we're going to take a gamble, that big a gamble, without our only recognised DM. If Curtis is fit, I think he will start with Elliot in midfield. If Curtis is not fit, Arta. And I think we'll keep Milner back, because I think we'll need to take Fabinho
to swap him
off at some point. Yeah. And then the only other wild thing in terms of the front three is it will probably be Diaz, Bobby and Salah, but I wouldn't be opposed to it being Jota, Nunes, Salah as an outside one.
I'd agree with that,
because I think Diaz could do with a little bit of a little bit of respite as well. He was knackered in the derby, like that, like the last 15 minutes he had nothing left, and we do need to be careful with him. So I wouldn't be totally opposed to that. Anyway, let us know your 11s in the comments. We've actually got choices, which is great. Right, okay, let's have another quick look then around the world and see what's going on match day one of the Champions League. Chelsea travel to Dinamo Zagreb. That's the Tuesday games. Dortmund host Copenhagen. Benfica, Maccabi Haifa, Sevilla host Man City. It'd be lovely if Sevilla could just run them down. That's a horrible place to go.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some tricky games there as well. It's not a particularly great, you know, nice atmosphere to go as a travelling fan as well. Again, it's not that it really matters to us in a Champions League sense, but this is where we're at now. You know, two games a week. City's squad is nowhere near as deep as people. You know, people aren't talking about how much depth they lack.
Yeah,
this will be a good test to see them put through the ringer.
Oh, totally. And Sevilla are a European specialist, aren't they? You know, at the end of the day, they'll be looking at this, right, we'll have a go, and if it doesn't work and we drop into the Europa League, we'll just win that, because that's what we do. You know, so I think that's a tough game. That's similarities to our game, in terms of you don't want to go there on the first night of the group stage, because you know you're in for a difficult one.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, Salzburg host Milan, Celtic host Real Madrid. Oof. welcome back to the Champions League, Celtic. Leipzig, Shakhtar, PSG, Juve. I guess that will be the one that everyone has one eye on. Above Mars, of course, Ajax are home to Rangers in our group. Eintracht Frankfurt, Sporting, Inter, Bayern. There's another potential belter there. Barca versus Vittoria Plzen. That would be hilarious if they lost that. Us at Napoli, of course. Atletico, Porto. Tottenham host Marseille and Club Brugge host Leverkusen as well. I did have a super chat in from someone else who wanted to make a point about Fabio Carvalho. Deeglin Shaw says, now Carvalho lads, we are done, we need some magic. I don't know what that means, but thank you so much for sending it in. No Carvalho, now we need Carvalho. I don't know. We'll see on Carvalho's fitness. I mean, hopefully he'll be around just to give a bit of rest, because if Diaz, I think hopefully Jota's back, we don't need Carvalho as much. He can go back to being a kid who's learning his way in the Liverpool side. I think the derby showed, and it's, again, the circumstances aren't ideal, picking up an injury as well, but I want him to just be a sprinkling of magic here and there, rather than us needing him to be an absolute gem. Take that moment, take that Newcastle moment, Mick, and live in it for a week or two, and go back to being on the fringes of what we're doing.
Exactly, and I think Klopp picked him, I think, on the back of that, because he was on such a high, obviously, after scoring the winner in that game, and obviously then starting the derby. It was a big show of faith in him, and we've seen how good he is, how good he can be, but maybe a little bit too soon for him in terms of where he is in his Liverpool career. But there's no doubt in the ability and the potential. He's absolutely terrific. And if he's, I don't know if he's going to be fit for this one, but like you said, with the if Diaz starts, bringing on Jota as a like-for-like on the left there, and bringing on Nunes or Bobby, whoever starts, there's a lot of options there that we can use, and that's a nice thing.
That's the thing, we're focusing so much on the midfield, and it's right too, because that's where we've been so badly decimated. But all of a sudden, we're in a situation now where we can make two changes to the front three. You know, we can play 60, 70 minutes, and then we can bring two fresh lads on with completely different impetus. And maybe that's a case to go back to Nunes being the impact sub again. He was having good joy at the start of the season with that. And you're right, with Jota there as well, who actually is the kind of guy who loves to get in around the back post, who loves to kind of like arrive in the penalty area. I could actually see a nice little partnership with them where Jota's the kind of lad who I think will like, he'll feed off the scraps that kind of come around, and if you can get Salah in there as well, last 15, 20 minutes of the game could bear dividends for us. But let us know what your 11 is in the comment section. If you're live with us now, you can use that. If you're after the fact on YouTube, you can use the comment section, and of course you can tweet us at the Redmen TV on Twitter as well. If you want to get involved with us with more chat, yeah, and you can join our Discord group by becoming a Club Legend subscriber on Redmen Plus. We had a comment here from Corey Tunt. And people complain about us now, and they say with spearing and pulsing in midfield, going back to the trivia question before. Yeah, absolutely. And Sparrow says, okay, Keita isn't signing because he wants more game time. The muscle he's pulled is clearly his brain. Brilliant. Join our incredible community of wonderful people over on the Club Legend Discord going to redmenplus.com and signing up. That would be great. And we'll see it all in there as well, of course. It just needs me to ask you for a score prediction before we head out. What do you think, Steve?
I'm praying for a 1-1 at this stage, which would be great if we came out of there with the points and survived that, because we've all said it's horrible. It's going to be tough. The atmosphere is going to be ridiculously hostile, and they're at it a little bit, aren't they? So,
yeah, it's hard to not see us conceding goals. I mean, I know we kept the clean sheet in the derby. Which,
yeah, exactly. No one saw it like three days ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 1-1 would be nice, but 2-1 would be just absolutely lovely. But yeah, 1-1, I think.
Gang of shitbags. Liverpool, Napoli 0, Liverpool 2. Goal in each half. Why not? That or a late 1-0. You know, yeah. Bring the subs on. Score a goal. Feel good. That'll be fine. Let's finally beat them pricks at their ground. That'll be absolutely magnificent. Jürgen Klopp's press conference will be available on the YouTube channel and on podcasting services as well. So make sure you check that out if you want to know what the manager's got to say about this game. We will be doing a watch along. Wednesday night as well. I think it's Chris and Steve. Chris arises from his deathbed in time. But other than that, yeah, that's us for this show. Thank you so much, everyone who joined us live. If you listened after the fact and you're on podcasting services, leave us a 5-star review. That all helps. And if you want more great Liverpool content that brings you closer to the football club and the city, then do consider checking out our subscription service, redmenplus.com, as well. Gents, thank you. Absolute pleasure. Hope to see you all soon. Ta-da.
Thank you so much for that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want more Red Men in your ears, then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video and, if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com, you get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month, exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.